Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour. Driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. Welcome to Rosie on the House. We're featuring Kingman this month. It's our featured staycation destination for this month. And prior to its foundings, Kingman was inhabited by a mixture of American Indian tribes. The first American expeditions were recorded in the area in the early 1800s. It wasn't founded until 1882 for Mr. Lewis Kingman, who had helped develop the Atlantic and Pacific route in, from Albuquerque to Needles, California, which passed through what is now Kingman, Arizona. Became a major shipping and trading center for precious metals and cattle once the train opened up there in 1883. Before working on the railroad, Mr. Kingman studied civil engineering in Boston and worked in the oil fields of Pennsylvania before moving out west with the railroad. Kingman's our featured destination for the month. You can enter to win your staycation. We're going to be drawing here shortly for December, which is Prescott. We always focus on Prescott because it is the Arizona Christmas city, and we do like to broadcast there for the courthouse lighting. Go to rosieonthehouse.com/travelaz. Enter to win. We'll be drawing on the 15th. This is our Arizona Hour, where we cover interesting Arizona people, places, things, all things Arizona. And I ran across a very interesting radio broadcast that I thought that's based right out of here of Arizona. I thought, man, this is the broadcast before Veterans Day. What better time to have the host, Mr. Brian Bueller Garcia of American Warrior Radio, on the program. Good morning, Ben.
Romy, what I tell you what, it's a thrill for me to be here because I've admired what you guys are doing for a long time. Would love to emulate you sometime when I grow up to be that big.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah, fair enough.
So tell me about, how'd you get the radio program started?
Well, actually, I didn't start it, Romy. It was started by another gentleman here in Tucson who was a huge supporter of the military, and he began American Warrior Radio 16 years ago, and I was helping him out. I'm not a radio guy, but I was helping him out, get scheduling guests and do some other things, and unfortunately, he came into the show one day, and we said, you know, Dave, you don't look quite right. And he says, well, I feel a little bit off, but I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never came. And so I just felt so passionate about the importance of communicating these messages that I approached the radio station, said I'd like to take it over. And it's been, I've been on the air now 6 years.
And over the course of the 16 years of the program, do you focus on one element of military, or do you try and spread it out?
Our mission really is to the gap of understanding between the less than 1% who serve and the rest of the population is huge and unfortunately growing. So our mission really is to focus on educating the general public about the men and women who protect us both at home and abroad. So we focus principally on military first responders and then folks who support them, the, you know, the Gary Sinises of the world, or we just recently had Max Martini, the famous actor, on talking about what he's doing to support the military.
Radio is a very interesting business, a very interesting industry, and we find ourselves in very interesting places and situations because of the broadcast. I can't imagine if we were focusing on military. I mean, have you been to Area 51? Have you been in, have you broadcasted from a nuclear submarine? Have they got you up in the new F-35 to broadcast from yet?
One out of three have broadcasted from a fast attack submarine, the USS Tucson. We did a broadcast from there in San Diego. Not been to Area 51. I'm okay with that. I would love to go up in an F-35, but I think those are only one-seat planes, so that might be somewhat of a challenge. They could strap me on under the wing. That would still be a kick in the pants, but yeah. But it is. It really, I mean, I do this because it's a labor of love for me. I never served in the military, and I just feel very strongly that those of us who haven't served, it's our duty to support those families.
9/11 was not long after I was out of high school. I think it had been 18 months since I graduated. And I had contemplated going, and I looked very heavily at going into the Air Force. After that happened, we went to go sign up, and the strangest thing over the next 2 weeks, two people very close to me out of nowhere just looked at me and said, don't enter the military. And I thought, you know, the Lord speaks to us in strange things, and if I've got my grandfather, who is a Navy veteran and a huge supporter of the military, and another close friend who's also active military, both telling me not to, but I've got the great respect for the military and what they give up to give us what we have here in America.
Well, I tell you, folks, we've got, if they visit AmericanWarriorRadio.com, we've got more than 300 stories. If they're not familiar with the program, it's a long format interview, so we spend the entire show talking to just one or two guests on one subject, because I'm a huge believer in the power of storytelling. And that allows us to really dig deep into the stories, and it's really, really compelling. You know, you get a Navy SEAL on the show, or someone who's won 4 Distinguished Service Crosses, Roger Staubach, Gary Sinise, and you think, okay, those are going to be the interviews. And they're not bad, but so often it's someone that nobody has ever heard of. But their story is so compelling and so inspirational that that makes for great radio. You're right, you just never know when they walk into the studio what's going to happen. And that's part of the fun of it.
We have this fine balance of how much we pre-interview a guest and how much we don't. Because sometimes we've got a wonderful pre-interview, and then we bring them on air, and it's like, they think they've already told us that once, and it's like they're not connecting that there's a whole audience that hadn't heard that story repeat it, and they're like, yes, no, sometimes.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how you'll see someone who is very comfortable getting up and speaking to a crowd of 1,000 people, and then you stick a microphone in front of their face, and they just clam up. So just maybe the human nature of it. As I mentioned, it's a labor of love for me. It's been a really joy. I've learned a lot. And let me just share one story that I think is – maybe speaks best to what those who have never served or who don't have a family member who served. There was a special event I was volunteering at it was a special event for families, military families about to deploy. And here comes mom, dad, 3 handsome little boys, about age 3 to 7. And I asked them, which one of you is deploying? And he looks me in the eye and says, I'm going this month, she's going in 3. And as a civilian, I couldn't even comprehend that. I mean, here's this family, and mom and dad are going off to war. And he said it like you and I would say, I'm going down to the grocery store to, you know, to get a bag of coffee or something. And I thought, holy cow. I mean, that in one picture epitomizes the sacrifices that these men and women are willing to make on our behalf, and how most of us go through our daily lives and don't give a thought to it. And that's a shame.
When we have a country that is so blessed and is so fruitful, here it is 2019, and we still have third world countries that don't have electricity or running water. You know, but to get where we are, it had a big cost, and a big part of that cost is what these servicemen and women do.
And very often we don't think about that. You know, particularly when we talk about the guardsmen and the reservists, much of their mission doesn't involve guns and bullets and bombs and missiles. They're overseas building schools and bringing water to communities, or just here on the home front. You know, when there's a hurricane... in fact, there's a perfect example. Recently, there was a Mexican fishing boat off the coast of Baja California. The mast collapsed. 2 of the fishermen were badly, badly injured. The Coast Guard couldn't get there. It was out, you know, too far. So basically, they dispatched a rescue group from here in Arizona that flew out there and took care of business. And they literally flew in a C-130, parachuted into the ocean. But they are protecting us 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, whether it's on the home front or abroad. And I don't think I've ever met anybody who's pro-war. It's horrible. At the same time, you have to have that protection, because we always want it to be an away game, right? And you mentioned 9/11. So many of the guests I have on, particularly from your generation that are members of the military, enlisted because of 9/11. Or I've had several guests who had served, left the military, but when 9/11 happened, they thought, no, it's my duty to my country. I'm going to re-enlist and go to war.
The best offense is a good defense. And
absolutely,
if we've got this robust defense, who's going to want to go take the offense against them?
Absolutely. People often, when I'm out at the bases for changes of command, and during the summer, in the case of the Air Force, oh gosh, I'll be at 18, 20 changes of command over the course of several months. And they're always very humble, and they're always very grateful for being there. But I tell them, look, as a civilian, as a business person, it reinvigorates me. I start to feel a little bit down about our country and where we're headed, and I go out there and I see these just wonderful young men and women, and it fills me with hope.
I have 4 sisters, and
my condolences.
I was always told that, you know, any boy they bring home, you know, we've got to give them a hard time, we've got to push them around. I did not give my brother-in-law Bruce as hard a time as I gave anyone else, because he was already enlisted in the Marines, and he went over to Iraq, and his first tour back, the first time I saw him and just the look on his face to be home, I'm like, I can't give this guy a hard time.
Well, and there's a lot to be learned. And when we talk about, you know, to some extent, the focus of your show, for business people out there, the skill sets that these young men and women are developing in the military, many of them are perfectly transferable to the private sector. I mean, good heavy diesel mechanic, a Finnish carpenter, you know, all these trades are also being developed in our United States military.
What do you have coming up interview-wise that you're excited about?
Well, it's you never know. They need to visit American Warrior Radio. I mean, I always knew in my heart I was doing the right thing. But when we started to get inquiries from movie studios and national-level publicists and PR agencies saying, hey, we'd like to have our client on your show, then I thought, hey, you know, we're making a dent. We're finally getting somewhere. But right now I'm trying to focus as much as possible on the generations that are fading. And I had an amazing guest. I was doing a feature on the Battle of the Bulge. And a young man, Douglas Dillard, he still is in the Army Intelligence Hall of Fame, joined at the age of 16, parachuted into Normandy at the age of 17 for the D-Day invasion, survived the Battle of the Bulge, went on to lead partisan troops in Korea, went on to lead, to be involved in the Phoenix program in Vietnam, which is, you know, very super secret, crazy ninja squirrel stuff. Amazing guy. I only had him for an hour, and we're talking about the Battle of the Bulge. And I said, you know, Doug, we got to have you back on the show again sometime. I'd love to talk to you more. Well, life happens. Other guests come and go. And about 6-8 months passed, and I received an email from his daughter saying he'd passed away. So I believe that for those generations that are fading so rapidly, if we don't get their stories recorded and communicated, they'll be lost forever. And what a shame that is. What would I hope from the show? I just want people to pause on occasion and think about it. Veterans Day obviously is a big day for that. But I want people to think about it more often throughout the course of the year. And to your listeners on your show, I'll give them a free tip here from American Warrior Radio. Please, please don't greet a veteran on Memorial Day by wishing them a happy Memorial Day. Veterans Day is for those who are living, Memorial Day or for those who have passed, and that's an important distinction.
More with BBG, the host of American Warrior Radio, right after this.